We open with hymn number 60. Psalm 145, found on page 155. 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King.
And I will bless thy name forever and ever.
Every day will I bless thee.
And I will praise thy name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
And his greatness is unsearchable.
One generation shall praise thy works to another,
and shall declare thy mighty acts.
I will speak of the glorious wonder of thy majesty,
and of thy wondrous works.
And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts,
and I will declare thy greatness.
They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness,
and shall sing of thy righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion,
slow to anger and of great mercy.
The Lord is good to all,
and his works are over all his works.
And all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord,
and thy saints shall bless thee.
They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom,
and talk of thy power,
to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts,
and the glorious majesty of his kingdom.
Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations.
The Lord upholdeth all that fall,
and raiseth up all those that be bowed down.
The eyes of all wait upon thee,
and thou givest them their meat in due season.
Thou openest thine hand,
and satisfiest the desire of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways,
and holy in all his works.
The Lord is near unto all that call upon him,
to all that call upon him in truth.
He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him.
He also will hear their cry, and will save them.
The Lord preserveth all them that love him,
but all the wicked will be destroyed.
My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord,
and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first lesson this evening is found in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 8th verse. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out! And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Here ends our first lesson. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our second lesson is found in the 1st chapter of Isaiah, the 57th through the 80th verse. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the 8th day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. You will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Here ends our second lesson.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee,
Lord. We sing hymn 63. Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the third chapter of Luke, the first through the 16th verse. Now in the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea in the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of the Lord came to John the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went out into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." And he said unto the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our father. For I say to you, that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And now the axe is laid to the root of the trees, and therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? He answered and said to them, He who has two tunics, let him give one to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Then the tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, Teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, Collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, And what shall we do? So he said to them, Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, amen. Beloved in Christ Jesus, this evening we hear the greatest proclamation of what God would do through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the preaching and the ministry of John the Baptizer. The prophets of the Old Covenant all preached Christ, and through them God told His people what He would do when He saved them from sin. And each generation of prophets revealed more and more about the work of the coming one. But none of them were allowed to see Christ. They were only given part of the revelation, part of the preaching and work that He would do, part of the story of what God would accomplish. And much of what they were given was hidden in shadows and types. 2 weeks ago we heard how God would end the shadows and types. He would send a prophet greater than all the prophets who came before Him. And He would be the forerunner of Christ. And He would prepare the very people who would see Christ with their own eyes to receive Him. His name was to be called John. Last week we heard the announcement of the birth of Jesus and of the meeting between John's mother and Jesus' mother, where the Lord Jesus came into the presence of His forerunner for the first time, and John leaped in his mother's womb for joy to be in the presence of his Lord. Through the doubt of Zacharias and the faith of Mary, God declared what He would do. And now we come to John himself, the last and greatest prophet, and the only one of the prophets who did not have to deal in shadows and types, but could speak with authority that the Lord's Christ had come. And he could point to Him, and he could identify Him by name, and he could tell his own disciples, follow Him. God announced what He would do through John. And the remarkable thing about the preaching of John is that it served two purposes at the same time. It first prepared the people for the coming of Christ, but it was itself also the very words which Jesus Himself would preach. And so John's preaching, with it came something that no one had all ever seen before. With it came the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And what would Jesus do then when He began His own ministry? But preach repentance and the remission of sins, and baptize and wash sin away. This baptism Jesus would ordain to continue until He comes again. Therefore, we know that John didn't invent this thing called baptism. He baptized because that was God's will. This was God's means to prepare His people and to announce the coming of Christ. How much success did the prophets of old have in all of their preaching? For the most part, they were despised by those who heard them. Yet, through their prophesying, God still did what he set out to do. He recorded beforehand how he would save his people from their sins. And though John also had great and powerful enemies who finally would take his life, he still had greater success than all of the prophets before him. Matthew records that the multitudes of people from Jerusalem, from the entire land of Judea, and from the surrounding country around the Jordan went out to John, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. In fact, it was his great success that drew also the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And these are the people who are the targets of the words which here Luke records. Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bear the fruits that are worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves that we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. What a terrible word. Not only that these people who thought of themselves so holy were a brood of vipers, but that God could just as well use stones as them. And yet we hear Jesus saying much the same things, because neither John or Jesus would tolerate the Pharisees, Sadducees, or anyone else trying to come into the kingdom of heaven through any other way than through repentance and the remission of sins. And it didn't matter who it was who came. The message was still the same. Repent, even if you are one of the holy ones, even if you are one of the undesirables whom everyone else despised because you were counted as a reprobate sinner. Still, the message did not change. The people in general, he bid to repent of their selfish and loveless behavior. You who have two coats, give to those who have none. You who have food, give to those who lack. The tax collectors he bid to repent of taking more than they were appointed to take. The soldiers he bid to repent of their unlawful violence and robbery. Turn from these sins and be washed. Receive the remission of sins that you cannot earn in any way. It doesn't matter who you are, Pharisee or tax collector. The message is the same. Repent of your evil and receive the remission of sins through the waters of baptism. And so the people came, and they continued to come from all the land, from every station in life, every occupation, and all sorts of different reputations. Therefore, don't marginalize the preaching of John or his function and purpose. Compare his ministry to all the prophets before him, and you see the difference. Remember the first Elijah, how he had to flee to the wilderness, and how he was convinced that he was the last faithful man left. Well, here we have the second Elijah. And here he is, in the wilderness, preaching. And he does not have to flee, because the thousands of Judea flee to him, to hear him preach, and to confess their sins, and to be baptized. And what do we see with Jesus' own ministry later on? We see the same thing. Only it was not his own people that came to him in the end, but the multitudes throughout the whole world that came rushing into the kingdom of heaven. His own people finally turned on him, but this did not impede God's will at all. He kept his promise. For the preparation of repentance and the baptism for the remission of sins has now gone out through the entire world through the called servants of Jesus. And through this preaching and baptism, Jesus continues to announce to the world both what he's already done in making full atonement for their sins and what he will soon do when he comes again in glory to judge the world and to receive his own into the kingdom of glory. This is what John said would happen. In our verses here, John predicted the day of Pentecost, when the preaching of repentance and the baptism of forgiveness would go out into all the world. For John himself could only baptize with water, but the coming one, Jesus, could baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And he would indeed do this. Jesus himself repeated this prophecy of John in Acts 1, verse 5, right before he ascended. He told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and await the baptism of the Holy Spirit, using the very words which John here said. And again, Peter in Acts 11:16 confirmed that on the day of Pentecost, that was when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, just as first John and later Jesus had said. And that's how you come into this story. Because Jesus has come and he sent his Holy Spirit in a special outpouring upon his apostles. And he increased and added to their ministry with many other evangelists and pastors and teachers. And he sent them out into all the world. And the fruits of that outpouring of his Spirit have now come to you. God gave you pastors and he gave you churches. They are not Christ, just as John was not the Christ. They cannot baptize you with the Holy Spirit upon you like just as Jesus baptized his apostles on the day of Pentecost. But they can do for you what John did for the people in his day. They can baptize you with water through which your sins are washed away. And yet how much better that you do not have to wait for Jesus in Jerusalem or some other place for some special outpouring, some special baptism of his Holy Spirit, because the fruits of Pentecost come to you in a more sure and certain way so that you can be sure that you are cleansed from all your sins. You never need to be in doubt that God has chosen you and made you a member of Christ's body, his church. This is how God has prepared you to receive his Son today. For still we wait for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Still we must be prepared and ready to receive him. And how shall we be prepared if we turn away from the very means which God has sent to us to prepare us to receive him? Through the preaching of repentance and the waters of baptism, your salvation is at hand today. Do not think that you can put off the preaching of repentance and remain in your sins for a while. Do not be too proud and think that this message, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," is not meant for you. For the time of your grace is now. Only the greatest fool would think that he had no need to repent because Jesus still has so much more work to do before he's done, and the time for your time of repentance is far shorter than you think. If you harden your heart today, it doesn't matter if Jesus takes another 1,000 years to complete his redemption. Those prideful Israelites, the Pharisees and Sadducees and others who wanted to be saved by their race rather than by faith, hardened their hearts against the preaching of John. Had they repented at the beginning, they would have been ready to receive Jesus, to be his disciples. But instead, they met him as his enemies. So it is that when you turn away the grace of God today and ignore his call of repentance, you very likely may never have another chance again. And it is not because you shall not be able to find a merciful God who is willing to hear your confession and forgive your sins. No, it is because you will never desire such a God again. Never desire repentance. Therefore, as you make ready to receive the Lord Jesus, do not harden your hearts or trust in your heritage or in your strength. God has announced to you what he will do through the preaching of John and of his Son Jesus. And so also he has announced to you the means by which you can enter and remain in his kingdom. Therefore, repent of your sins every day of your life and trust in the baptism by which Jesus has applied to you the fruits of his redemption and washed away your sins. And then when he comes again in glory, you will be well prepared to receive him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing hymn number 75.
let praise be set forth before thee as incense.
We sing the Magnificat.
My soul magnified the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for he hold from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm, and he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O Lord God, Heavenly Father, who through thy servant John the Baptist didst bear witness that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and that all who believe in him shall inherit eternal life, we humbly pray thee to enlighten us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may at all times find true comfort and joy in this witness, continue steadfast in the true faith, and at last with all believers attain unto eternal life, through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Good morning, or evening.
It is not morning.
All right, well, this may well be our last Vesper service in this location. So